where Trumbull comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Once in a while, we get to hear from extraordinary people that write these books for National Geographic. And so while our everyday programming today is going to circle back to the news, and I will give you a chance, and I hope you will call in to tell us how you think about what's happening with Whoopi Goldberg and being removed from The View for a couple of weeks and the entire national conversation about race and anti-Semitism. For now, for just a few minutes, we're going to circle and talk to our next guest, Claire Fiesler, who is it Fiesler? Am I pronouncing it correctly? I hope so.
Yes, yes.
Hi, Claire.
It's okay. It's a German last name. It's too many vowels.
Okay. All right. And Claire, you have written a book called No Boundaries, 25 Women Explorers Share Adventures, Inspiration, and Advice. But you yourself are one of them. You're a photojournalist, a conservation biologist. You've done field research on coral reefs. I understand you're proud of the fact that you rappelled down a rock with a broken foot to see a fern. F-E-R-N, to see a fern. So you're a pretty brave, amazing person yourself. So tell us a little bit, just give us a highlight of why we would want to page through these marvelous encapsulations of these brave women. Talk to us.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for having me on. I've been listening to the show a little bit this morning, and it's very interesting. And I want to let you know that these conversations about race are not separate from the book, too, and we can come back to them as well.
Oh, good.
But yeah, this book, it's a book that, I've never written a children's book, but a colleague of mine looked around and realized that the media around what is a scientist in American culture was overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly male. And it wasn't just us. It was research studies showing that as well. The majority of characters on TV who are in the STEM fields are white and male. And we wanted to change that, and we thought what better audience to change that with would be middle school girls. So we wrote this book, profiles 25 women. And what's different, Lisa, is one, these women are from all over the world, all different cultural backgrounds and different races. So we have women from every continent. And second, what's different is that all these women are predominantly under the age of 45 years old.
Wow.
So they're early to mid-career. And we thought that was really key because, Jane Goodall is one of my heroes.
Yeah.
But her story, really takes place in the 50s and 60s, 70s. And I'm not sure how much young girls today can relate to that. And so we really wanted to portray women who are on the front lines of science and exploration today.
So tell us a little bit. I mean, just give us a little bit of a one or two, thumbnail sketches of some of the women that you talk about.
Yeah, sure. So one of the women that we talk about is Danielle Lee, and she's a mammalogist. She studies rodents, and it might make people feel kind of squeamish, but she does study mice and rats, including she's in the Midwest, from the Midwest, and she loved animals growing up, and she thought she wanted to be a veterinarian. And she comes from a working-class community, a black community, and that's the only kind of career she thought, people who like animals could do. And she just kept on getting rejected from veterinary school just again and again and
again.
Really?
Wow.
And so finally she met, and then she met a mentor who studied, small mammals and their special role they play in the ecosystem, the critical role they play in an ecosystem. They're not just pests, of course. And she just got exposed to this new, that science is this bigger world. It's much bigger than medicine and veterinary and rocket science. And she ended up, going and getting her PhD. And now she studies the difference between what she calls city mice and country mice.
Wow.
The mice you find in your kitchen closet, maybe, munching on your cereal boxes. And the mice that are found in the cornfields out in the Midwest, and trying to understand how they're different. And that also helps us understand why we're having increasing mice and rat problems in cities to kind of help us deal with that. Then she also takes that knowledge and she works on these giant pouch rats in Africa, which are rats the size of cats, believe it or not. And they play an incredible role in the environment and are becoming increasingly threatened.
Claire, did you just say rats the size of cats? Okay. Does anybody want a rat the size of a cat? Oh, my God. My daughter is so freaked out. You know, she lives in the city now on the Upper East Side. And the rats are all over. They've taken over Manhattan. I mean, they've just taken over.
And I
now walk in the city as soon as dusk comes, and I have blinders on. Like, I don't want to look down, because the fact that we have allowed ourselves, at least in Manhattan, to live with these open garbage pails with no receptacles, like, why isn't that the major political issue of our time? I don't understand how we are allowing ourselves to live in such unsanitary conditions. I don't get it, Claire. I don't get it.
And it's a real problem for disease, too, as we have this global pandemic, real problem from disease. And so that's why people like Danielle in this book, she's actually really critical to understanding, like, why are we having more rats? Like, what about their behavior is making them more, predominant?
Right. How does rats survive?
But rats is...
Yeah.
But real quickly, one quick thing before we move on from rats the size of cats. The rats, the giant African pouch rats, yes, they're scary and large, but they also have incredible senses of smell. And they've been used as essentially like bomb sniffing dogs. And they've been used to sniff out landmines in Africa and have saved thousands of lives. They train these rats to sniff out these landmines. It's an incredible story. It's all in the book. That's why you got to buy the book.
The book is amazing. I know. It's a beautiful book. 25 women explorers share adventures, inspiration, and advice. By the way, it sounds to me like you're painting a picture from The Princess Bride. I'm just saying. Do you remember? You remember The Princess Bride, the movie where they go through the fire pit and all these like creatures come out?
Yes.
Anyway.
Oh yes, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I know. I love that movie.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Well, I can see why.
One
Claire.
Thing I want to say about Danielle's story before we move on, because her story is about race too, and I've been listening to your show today, and one thing that she talks about in the book is that when she is studying rats out in the cornfield, mice in the cornfield, she studies mice that are in cities and also out in the cornfields, she'll be, with her car wandering around cornfields and in these mostly rural white communities. And she gets stopped. She gets called the police on her because here's this black woman poking around someone's cornfield. And I think she's come to laugh it off at this point. And then when she's explained who she's with, that she's with the university and she's got this permit and then she's got her scientific equipment, and people, can learn and they want to talk and so forth. But the first reaction to her is not, oh, she must be a scientist, is she's not supposed to be here. And she talks about that in the book, about how her race has made doing fieldwork and being a scientist extra challenging than white scientists like myself.
So she's convinced really that if she was white and mucking around in someone's cornfield, that they would not have called the police on her. She's persuaded that it's because she's black that they called the police on her.
I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I would bet money that she would say yes.
Yeah.
That she would say yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, these themes cross-cut our society, and they reach into this issue of women in science. Even this issue that we can all kind of come around, these issues of race come into this narrative, too.
We're chatting with Claire Fiesler, and she is an explorer and photojournalist herself, and she's written a wonderful book for young adults. Of course, adults also will enjoy it, but I'm always looking for books for young adults because I want to be known as the book lady, Claire. So I'm in my private life. In my private life, I actually give book subscriptions to kids all the time. That's my Christmas presents for kids. That's all I do. I get National Geographic books like yours. Tell us one more story of one more wonderful woman.
Well, maybe we can go to Mars for a second. So there's an incredible woman named Sarah Stewart Johnson, and she's the youngest woman to have worked on all of the Mars rovers.
Ooh.
The existing Mars rovers. And she's young. She's fairly young now. I think Sarah's about 43 years old. She's a PhD. She's an astrobiologist, and she's working on ways to detect life on other planets. How would we know that there was life on another planet if the life doesn't look like human life, earthly life? sorry, not hurting the human life, earthly life, you know, carbon-based
yes.
organisms, you know, what sort of other molecular structures that they have and so forth. Yeah, she's fantastic work. You know, she studies Mars. She's also a writer. She wrote an award-winning book last year. But she has this great story, and I think I'm attracted to her story because I'm a young mom. I've got a toddler at home. And she tells a story about how, you know, she's in this really cutting edge field, very much dominated by men. She only had one female mentor in all of her time at NASA. And when she decided to have kids, you know, she was also working on the Mars Curiosity rover. Do you remember this rover when it landed, like in 2012?
Yes.
It was like this huge deal.
Yes.
Yeah, the first, like, rover that could, like, move around and drive around.
Yeah.
On Mars. And, you know, all of her colleagues who had worked on the rover were actually at NASA celebrating the landing. And she talks about how she, that day instead, was not at NASA, but she was exhausted and recovering from giving birth to her first son. And thinking to herself, you know, so she had this one-day-old baby at home.
Mm.
And she says she thought to herself, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this, you know, detecting, you know, trying to detect life on other planets and also, you know, be a mother and a good one. And she really, really struggled with that. And I just love that moment because she's just very, very real about the self-doubts that she has. And here she is, this, you know, you look from the outside, she looks like she's got it all together.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's
but
the...
really, she has these incredible self-doubts about being able to
juggle.
And I think it's...
It is.
Yeah, the juggle.
It's universal. It's a universal juggle. Biology is destiny. And... but we have to make room for women like her and make women... you know, make room for women like you to be able to be mothers, to transmit your passion, your curiosity, your own natural talent, so that we have another generation of people growing up that have mothers like you. And we've got to be able to do that.
Yeah.
We absolutely do. Well, Claire,
yeah.
Claire Fiesler, the book is called No Boundaries, 25 Women Explorers Share Adventures, Inspiration, and Advice. It's published by National Geographic. As all National Geographic books are, it's extremely beautiful to look at and beautifully published.
It is.
And thank you very much, Claire, for being on the show today. And thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We'll
take
be
care.
Right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. We're going to take a call or two as our conversation continues and weaves and talks about racism and Whoopi Goldberg. I know a lot of you have been very patient in holding, and we appreciate that. We'll get right to you. And then we're going to chat with Matt Mandel as well. We'll catch up on what's going on. 203-333-9422. Stay tuned.